Well, hello again, and welcome to the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I'm your podcast host, Kelly, and I thank you so much for joining me again on a podcast where we have this time together to share in God's Word and to learn how we, in our daily lives, can share the message and life of Christ with not only family, friends, co-workers, and neighbors, but even the strangers that come into our lives every day. Let's take advantage of this opportunity to learn about sharing a Christ-focused life, both in what we say to people when they ask us about our faith, but more importantly, how we share Christ through service to others every single day in what we do and how we live our lives. But before we get started, whether you enjoy this podcast on Spotify, Amazon Music, World Podcast Network, Deezer, iHeart, or any other platform, I encourage you to visit our podcast webpage hosted by Buzzsprout. Unfortunately, Google Podcast has made changes to their platform recently, but I've included a link to the Buzzsprout webpage in the description of the podcast, and you should be able to see it on the platform you're listening to now. From there, you'll be able to access the entire episode library, quick links to our Facebook page and YouTube channel, view current news and happening. You'll also be able to access links to free gifts and resources I would like you to have as a way of saying thank you for listening, as well as to help you in your Christian walk. From the Buzzsprout website, it will also be so easy to share each episode with family, friends, coworkers, and colleagues, or anyone you think would benefit from any of our podcast episodes. Now, let's get started on this episode of the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thanks again for joining me. We continue our five-part series on 100 reasons why we believe. In this, our part four, we explore the 10 reasons we believe that Christ rose from the dead, then move into the 10 reasons we believe in Christ rather than a religion. In part 5, which will be our next episode, we'll talk about 10 reasons why we believe in life after death, then bring everything together in looking at 10 reasons why we believe God offers the perfect gift. So, let's get started. Here are 10 reasons why we believe that Christ rose from the dead. Reason number 1, a public execution assured his death. During the Jewish feast of Passover, Jesus was swept away by an angry crowd into a Roman hall of justice. As he stood before Pilate, the governor of Judea, religious leaders accused Jesus of claiming to be the king of the Jews. The crowd demanded his death. Jesus was beaten, whipped, and sentenced to a public execution. On a hill outside of Jerusalem, he was crucified between two criminals. Broken-hearted friends and mocking enemies shared in his death watch. As the Sabbath neared, Roman soldiers were sent to finish the execution. To quicken death, they broke the legs of the two criminals. But when they came to Jesus, they did not break his legs, because from experience they knew he was already dead. As a final precaution, however, they thrust a spear into his side. It would take more than resuscitation for him to ever trouble them again. Reason number 2 why we believe that Christ rose from the dead: a high official secured the gravesite. The next day, religious leaders again met with Pilate. They said Jesus had predicted he would rise in 3 days. To assure that the disciples could not conspire in a resurrection hoax, Pilate ordered the official seal of Rome to be attached to the tomb to put grave robbers on notice. To enforce the order, soldiers stood guard. Any disciple who wanted to tamper with the body would have to get by them, which wouldn't have been easy. The Roman guards had good reason for staying alert. The penalty for falling asleep while on watch was death. Reason number 3 why we believe that Christ rose from the dead: in spite of guards, the grave was found empty. On the morning after the Sabbath, some of Jesus' followers went to the grave to anoint his body. But when they arrived, they were surprised at what they found. The huge stone that had been rolled into place over the entrance to the tomb had been moved, and Jesus' body was gone. As word got out, two disciples rushed to the burial site. The tomb was empty except for Jesus' burial wrappings, which were lying neatly in place. In the meantime, some of the guards had gone into Jerusalem to tell the Jewish officials that they had fainted in the presence of a supernatural being that rolled the stone away. And when they woke up, the tomb was empty. The officials paid the guards a large sum of money to lie and say that the disciples stole the body while the soldiers slept. They assured the guards that if the report of the missing body got back to the governor, they would intercede on their behalf. Reason number four why we believe that Christ rose from the dead. Many people claimed to have seen him alive. About A.D. 55, the Apostle Paul wrote that the resurrected Christ had been seen by Peter, the 12 apostles, more than 500 people, many of whom were still alive at the time of his writing, James and himself. See 1 Corinthians 15 verses 5 through 8. By making such a public statement, he gave critics a chance to check out his claims for themselves. In addition, the New Testament begins its history of the followers of Christ by saying that Jesus presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by the apostles during 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, as we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 3. Reason number five why we believe that Christ rose from the dead. His apostles were dramatically changed. When one of Jesus' inner circles defected and betrayed him, the other apostles ran for their lives. Even Peter, who earlier had insisted that he was ready to die for his teacher, lost heart and denied that he even knew Jesus. But the apostles went through a dramatic change. Within a few weeks, they were standing face to face with the ones who had crucified their leader. Their spirit was like iron. They became unstoppable in their determination to sacrifice everything for the one they called Savior and Lord. Even after they were imprisoned, threatened, and forbidden to speak in the name of Jesus, the apostles said to the Jewish leaders, "We ought to obey God rather than men," as we read in Acts 5, verse 29. After they were beaten by disobeying the orders of the Jewish council, these once cowardly apostles did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ, also read in Acts 5, verse 42. Reason number six, witnesses were willing to die for their claims. History is full of martyrs. Countless men and women have died for their beliefs. For that reason, it's not that significant to point out that the first disciples were willing to suffer and die for their faith. But it is significant that while many will die for what they believe to be the truth, few, if any, will die for what they know to be a lie. That psychological fact is important because the disciples of Christ did not die for deeply held beliefs about which they could have been honestly mistaken. They died for their claims to have seen Jesus alive and well after his resurrection. They died for their claim that Jesus Christ had not only died for their sins, but that he had risen bodily from the dead to show that he was like no other spiritual leader who had ever lived. Reason number seven why we believe that Christ rose from the dead. Jewish believers changed their day of worship. The Sabbath day of rest and worship was basic to the Jewish way of life. Any Jew who did not honor the Sabbath was guilty of breaking the law of Moses. Yet Jewish followers of Christ began worshiping with Gentile believers on a new day. The first day of the week, the day on which they believed Christ had risen from the dead, replaced the Sabbath. For a Jew, it reflected a major change of life. The new day, along with the Christian conversion rite of baptism, declared that those who believed Christ had risen from the dead were ready for more than a renewal of Judaism. They believed that the death and resurrection of Christ had cleared the way for a new relationship with God. The new way was based not on the law, but on the sin-bearing, life-giving help of a resurrected Savior. Reason number 8, why we believe that Christ rose from the dead. Although it was unexpected, it was clearly predicted. The disciples were caught off guard. They expected their Messiah to restore the kingdom of Israel. Their minds were so fixed on the coming of a messianic political kingdom that they didn't anticipate the events essential to the salvation of their souls. They must have thought Christ was speaking in symbolic language when he kept saying over and over that it was necessary for him to go to Jerusalem to die and be resurrected from the dead. Coming from one who spoke in parables, they missed the obvious until it was all over. In the process, they also overlooked the prophet Isaiah's prediction of a suffering servant who would bear the sins of Israel, being led like a lamb to the slaughter, before God prolonged his days, as we read in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 10. Reason number 9, why we believe that Christ rose from the dead. It was a fitting climax to a miraculous life. While Jesus hung on a Roman cross, crowds mocked him. He helped others, but could he help himself? Was the miracle suddenly coming to an end? It seemed like such an unexpected ending for someone who began his public life by turning water into wine. During his 3-year ministry, he walked on water, healed the sick, opened blind eyes, deaf ears, and tongue-tied mouths, restored crippled limbs, cast out demons, stilled a violent storm, and raised the dead. He asked questions wise men couldn't answer. He taught profound truths with the simplest of comparisons. And he confronted hypocrites with words that exposed their cover-up. If all was true, should we be surprised that his enemies didn't have the last word? And reason number 10, why we believe that Christ rose from the dead, it fits the experience of those who trust him. The Apostle Paul wrote, "If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you," as we read in Romans chapter 8, verse 11. This was the experience of Paul, whose heart was dramatically changed by the resurrected Christ. It's also the experience of people all over the world who have died to their old ways so that Christ can live his life through them. The spiritual power is not evident in those who try to add belief in Christ to their old life. It is seen only in those who are willing to die to their old life to make room for the rule of Christ. It's apparent only in those who respond to the overwhelming evidence for Christ's resurrection by acknowledging his lordship in their heart. You're not alone if you find yourself honestly unconvinced about whether Christ rose from the dead. But keep in mind that Jesus promised God's help to those who want to be right with God. He said, "If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own," as we read in John chapter 7, verse 17 in the NIV. If you do see the reasonableness of the resurrection, keep in mind that the Bible says Christ died to pay the price for our sins, and those who believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead will be saved. And you read this in Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. The salvation Christ offers is not a reward for effort, but a gift to all who, in light of the evidence, put their trust in him. To accept God's gift of forgiveness and everlasting life, You can simply make a prayer, something like this. God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins, and I believe He rose from the dead to live His life through all who believe in Him. I now receive Him as my Savior, and I accept Your offer of forgiveness and everlasting life, and I thank You, Father. In Jesus' name I make this prayer. Amen. And so, dear friend, we just reviewed 10 reasons why we believe that Christ rose from the dead, a foundational belief of our faith. Coming up, we'll look at 10 reasons why we believe Christ rather than a religion. And I'm sure you'll find that a very enlightening discussion. According to a recent survey, there are over 2 billion Christians in the world, but over 45,000 different denominations. 45,000! Wow! How did we get to that? How did we get from one Father, one Son, and one Holy Spirit to over 45,000 different denominations? I'm truly looking forward to sharing the 10 reasons we should follow Christ rather than follow a specific religion. And I'm sure this topic will be generating a lot of questions and a lot of conversation. Remember, I always encourage you to talk with your Christian friends, teachers, mentors, or church leaders. I'm not throwing stones at any denomination. I'm only taking this opportunity to share the idea of getting back to the basics of Christ and not spend time trying to go around our elbow to get to our thumb. Basic is Christ. It is man that has complicated things, and we should try to whittle away the excess and get back to the purity of His message. That's coming up next on the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
If you have been listening to this podcast for a little while now, you know that I am a Christian American living in northern Thailand in the province of Chiang Rai, bordering the countries of Myanmar or Burma, as most of us remember, and the country of Laos along the Mekong River. In addition to producing this podcast and enjoying the culture, the people, and the lifestyle I have found here, I am very much involved with a Christian organization that takes care of up to 200 children here in northern Thailand. All of these children come from poor ethnic minority hill tribe communities, and as many as 50 are moderately to severely handicapped with special needs like wheelchairs, walkers, various type of therapy, even being fed food or other 24-hour care needs that must be provided. These children range in age from 1 year to 18 years of age, and without this organization and these wonderful people providing compassionate care, giving and love to these children, these kids would have nothing. This Christian group provides food, lodging, access to educational opportunities, access to basic health care, and so much more. These are the basics every child should have access to, but for these children, without the help of this organization, these poor children would have absolutely nothing. Seeing the depth of tragedy and despair of poor human beings like these children and similar families on television commercials and fundraising programs comes nowhere close to the impact it makes on you when you see it up close and personal, when it is right there in your face and you are initially stunned by the ache your heart feels when the reality sets in. I've included a link to the Home of Charity website where you can meet my kids, if you will, and get to learn more, not only about them, but also about the fantastic and challenging work this organization is doing for all of my young friends. I hope you will visit the website because I ask you primarily for your prayers that God continues to bless these kids, this organization, and all of the staff and caregivers that provide these angels born with broken wings, the care and compassion that is truly a living example of Christ-like service in a genuine and sincere Christ-focused way. The service to these innocent lives is given to these children, some who suffer every minute of their lives in ways that we, who are so blessed with health, family, a life full of bounty, and God's many blessings, just cannot possibly imagine or comprehend. So if you will please pray for God's continued blessings and provisions in this wonderful labor of love, I would be so grateful. I also want you to consider this. You don't have to travel around the world to serve Christ by serving others in need. There are those desperately in need right now, right where you live. I hope by visiting the website you will get an idea of who and how you, individually or maybe as a church family, might be able to serve Christ by serving others. It's not just about giving money to a cause. Maybe it's providing a meal to someone hungry, maybe a bottle of water to someone thirsty, maybe a coat to someone during cold weather, maybe school supplies to children in a struggling family. Maybe someone needs a ride to go shopping, or maybe to see a doctor. Or maybe someone just needs a smile and an encouragement of some kind. Please ask God to show you who He wants you to serve, and ask Him to guide you in your efforts. And remember, while we are all God's children, Christ has told us that what we do to serve the least of these, we do for Him. Thanks for listening to my prayer request. Let's get back to our episode here on the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God.
Welcome back as we continue our part 4 of the 5-part series, 100 Reasons Why We Believe. Let's jump right into this portion of the episode where we are reviewing 10 reasons why to believe in Christ rather than in religion. Reason number 1. Christ is someone to know and trust. Christ is more than a system, tradition, or belief. He's the person who knows our needs, feels our pain, and sympathizes with our weakness. In exchange for our trust, He offers to forgive our sins, to intercede for us, and to bring us to His Father. He cried for us, died for us, and rose from the dead to show that He was all He claimed to be. Conquering death, He showed us that He can save us from our sins, live His life through us on earth, and then bring us safely to heaven. He offers Himself as a gift to anyone who will trust in Him. And this you will read in John chapter 20, verses 24 through 31. Reason number 2 as to why to believe in Christ rather than in religion. Religion is something to believe and do. Religion is believing in God, attending religious services, taking catechism, being baptized, and receiving communion. Religion is tradition, ritual, ceremony, and learning the difference between right and wrong. Religion is reading and memorizing scripture, offering prayers, giving to the poor, and celebrating religious holy days. Religion is singing in the choir, helping the poor, and making amends for past wrongs. Religion is something that was practiced by the Pharisees, those scripture-loving, conservative, separatistic, spiritual leaders who hated Christ enough to call for His death. They hated Him not only because He broke their traditions in order to help people, as you read in Matthew 15, verses 1 through 9, but because He saw through their religion to their hearts. Reason number 3 is to why to believe in Christ rather than in religion. Religion doesn't change hearts. Jesus likened the religious Pharisees to a group of dishwashers who clean the outside of a cup while leaving the inside dirty. He said, "Now you Pharisees, make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness. Foolish ones, did not He who made the outside make the inside also?" As you read this in Luke 11, verses 39 and 40. Jesus knew that a person can change his image without changing his act, as we read in Matthew 23. He knew that religious credentials and ceremony cannot change the heart. He told one of the most religious men of his day that unless a person is born again by the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God, as you read in John chapter 3, verse 3. Yet, from that day until now, many of the most religious people in the world continue to forget that while religion can give attention to outward appearance, only Christ can change the heart. Reason number 4. Religion makes much of little. Jesus spoke to religionists who had a passion for detail when he said, "Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone." In Luke chapter 11, verses 42, we read that in the NIV. Jesus saw our tendency to make rules and to focus on morally correct behavior instead of keeping our eyes on the bigger issue of why we are trying to be so right. While the Pharisees were big on knowledge carried out to its logical conclusions, they forgot that God doesn't care how much we know until he knows how much we care. It was this greater why that the Apostle Paul had in mind when he wrote, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but have not love, I gain nothing." And this is read in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. Reason number 5 as to why to believe in Christ rather than in religion. Religion offers the approval of men rather than God. Jesus reserved his strongest criticism for religious people who used their spiritual reputation to get social attention and honors. To such religionists, Jesus said, "Woe to you Pharisees, for you love the best seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces," as we read in Luke 11, verse 43. Then, speaking to his disciples, he said of the Pharisees, "All their works they do to be seen by men," and this is told to us in Matthew chapter 23, verse 5. Jesus saw clearly into the practice of religion, which holds the opinions and attention of man to be more important and desirable than the approval of God. Reason number 6 as to why to believe in Christ rather than in religion. Religion makes hypocrites of us. Jesus said, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like graves which are not seen, and the men who walk over them and are not aware of them," as we read in Luke 11, 44. What looks better than being dressed right, attending religious services, and doing things that mark us as decent, God-fearing people? Yet, how many religious scholars, ministers, and faithful followers withhold honor and encouragement from their wives, attention from their children, and love from their doctrinal enemies? Jesus knew what we often forget. What looks good may have a heart of evil. Reason number 7 is to why to believe in Christ rather than in religion. Religion makes a hard life harder. Because religion cannot change a heart, it tries to control people with laws and expectations that are not even kept by the religionists who interpret and apply the rules. With this burden factor in mind, Jesus said, "Woe to you also, lawyers or experts in religious law, for you load men with burdens hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers," we read in Luke 11, 46. Religion is good at describing high standards of right behavior and relationships, but poor at giving real and merciful help to those who realize they have not lived up to those expectations. Reason number 8 as to why to believe in Christ rather than in religion. Religion makes it easy to deceive ourselves. It's been jokingly said, "I love humanity. It's people I can't stand. Well, the Pharisees acted out a similar idea, but it wasn't funny. According to Jesus, the Pharisees prided themselves in honoring and building memorials to the prophets. The irony is that when they met a real prophet, they wanted to kill him. Barclay says, the only prophets they admired were dead prophets. When they met a living one, they tried to kill him. They honored the dead prophets with tombs and memorials, but they dishonored the living one with persecution and death. This is the point Jesus made in Luke chapter 11, verses 47 through 51, and in a parallel passage in Matthew 23, verses 29 through 32. The Pharisees had fooled themselves. They didn't think of themselves as prophet killers. Religionists don't see themselves as the God-rejecting people. They are. Reason number 9 as to why to believe in Christ rather than in religion. Religion hides the key of knowledge. One of the greatest dangers of religion is that it causes us to be a danger not only to ourselves, but also to others. To the very religious biblical experts of his day, Jesus said, "Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You did not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered." See Luke 11:52. Religionists take away the key of knowledge by distracting people from the Word of God and from a right attention of heart by the unnecessary additions of denominationally correct traditions and expectations. Rather than leading people to God, religionists shift the focus to themselves and their own rules. Religionists are those who trust the beliefs and actions of their religion to do what only Christ can do. And reason number 10 is to why to believe in Christ rather than in religion. Religion leads its converts astray. In Matthew 23:15, Jesus said, "Woe to you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he is won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves." Converts of religion are in double jeopardy. They bring a double enthusiasm to their new way of life, and with zeal they blindly defend their blind teachers. They put themselves in the trust of people who have exchanged a system of rules and traditions for the life, forgiveness, and relationship of an infinite Savior. Religion is important in its place, as James 1 verses 26 and 27 reads, but only when it points us to the Christ who died for our sins and who now offers to live his life through those who trust him. And you read this in Galatians 2 verses 20 and Titus 3 verse 5. You're not alone if you're unconvinced that Christ is all he claimed to be, but keep in mind that he promised God's help to those who have good reasons for their questions. He said, "If anyone chooses to do God's will, he'll find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own," as we read again in John chapter 7, verse 17. Here Jesus reminds us that we see things not only as they are, but as we are. If you do see the reasonableness and faith in Christ, keep in mind that the Bible says to the family of God, "It is for by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works or religious efforts and accomplishments, lest anyone should boast," as we read this in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. The salvation Christ offers is not a reward for religious effort, but a gift to all who put their trust in him. To accept God's gift of salvation, you can make a simple prayer just like we did earlier in this episode. You can pray to God saying, "God, I know I'm a sinner. I know I can't save myself. I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he rose from the dead to live his life through all who believe in him. I now receive him as my Savior. I accept your offer of forgiveness and everlasting life, and I thank you, Father God. And I make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
This episode and this series is shining the resource spotlight on the Christian audiobook, Please Just Talk With Me. Stories, prayers, scriptures, and thoughts God has been waiting your entire life to share with you. This audiobook is a great resource that simply communicates the love, the mercy, and the clarity that a personal and intimate relationship with God that only He can provide. It helps to convey the reasonableness of the Christian faith and how that faith can be experienced in a practical application and on a daily basis. The journey to that loving relationship with God begins with the simple first step of prayer. The messages conveyed in this audiobook are scriptural in basis, told in short story form, supported with short and simple prayer. Some have said that Jesus was the greatest storyteller in how he used parable to demonstrate his message. As Jesus taught his disciples by both example and by story, this audiobook conveys his message of hope in short story form to make it easier to learn and understand how this sometimes painful, despairing, and heartbreaking life on earth gains greater meaning once we have developed a consciousness in Christ that is guided and strengthened with the filling of the Holy Spirit. The topics of conversations you can have with God are truly endless. In this audiobook, you will discover you can speak with God on healing, understanding conversation and prayer with God, forgiveness, extending grace, loving others, thankfulness, giving, motherhood, fatherhood, finding peace, and so much more. This wonderful opportunity to gain peace, comfort, understanding and solace in the sometimes dark and trying times of this life we live on earth begins simply with your first heartfelt and humble prayer to God. You can find this audiobook at your favorite audiobook retailer anywhere in the world, or you can click on the link I have included to Kobo Audiobooks to find your copy of this great Christian resource. This audiobook is not only a perfect gift for yourself, but also a great gift idea for someone you know that really needs to have a prayerful conversation with God. You never know, your gift might just be an answer to a prayer they are already trying to make. Please click on the link to learn more. Thanks for listening. And now let's get back to our current episode on the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God.
There you have it. We have just reviewed 10 reasons why we should be following Christ rather than religion. I've heard it said that Christ and His pure and simple message and life of compassion and service is God joining with His creation of man. And religion is man's human and weak attempt and creation to try and connect and join with God. Certainly a lot to think about, and I hope it creates questions for you and opportunities for discussion about the idea of getting back to the basics of Christ and doing our very best at serving others and sharing His message of love, hope, mercy, grace, and salvation with others. Doing as Oswald Chambers has said, doing our utmost for His highest. As Christians, we should not quibble or argue or fight among ourselves about which denomination is truer, greater, wiser, or more faithful than others. We should all come together as followers of Christ to bring honor to Him for His living example and His loving sacrifice for us, and to bring glory to God so that we can achieve His will of being done on earth as it is in heaven. Please join me for the conclusion of this podcast series, 100 Reasons to Believe, in the next episode. In part 5, we'll look at 10 foundational reasons that as Christians we believe in life after death, as well as 10 reasons that we believe that God offers the perfect gift to each and every one of us. I hope you'll join me because I'm truly looking forward to it. Thank you again for visiting with me on this podcast. I hope that you're blessed by its content, and I hope that maybe you might know someone who would be blessed as well by you sharing this episode with them. Until we get together again, I pray you will be well and safe. strong and courageous, involved and engaged, caring and cared for, and to encourage you to always be listening for when the still small voice of God is talking to your heart. Be blessed, and I look forward to being with you again for the next episode of the Romans 10:17 podcast, where faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Thanks.